Our scripture text is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to run right through it. Paul has been criticized by somebody. This is a defense of his ministry, and the criticism that they're making of him apparently is, well, Paul's only doing it for the money. That's the criticism. That's a criticism that is made of the church today. Have you heard that kind of criticism? And I'll do another confession. I watched The Simpsons once. That's my confession. And they were showing the preacher, I can't remember his name, but the view they had of the preacher was him counting money in the back of the church. That's the picture that the world wants to present. So that's the criticism that Paul is giving. He's doing it for what he can get out of it. So Paul says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have a right to food and drink? Don't we have a right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right not to work for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink its milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this is written for us, because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in hope of sharing the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. I don't know. Don't you know that those who serve in the temple get their food from the temple, and that those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. But I have not used any of these rights, and I'm not writing this in the hope that you do such things for me, for I would rather die than allow anyone to deprive me of this boast. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not to make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those who are those under the law. To those who have those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it for a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. We know this talks about the integrity of the Apostle Paul. If the Corinthian believers, if he had not lived a sacrificial life that he's describing here, they would have tossed the book of 1 Corinthians. We wouldn't have the letter. Am I crazy about that? You understand what my argument is? He's claiming to have an integrity where he served the Lord and preached them the gospel free of charge. And if that were not true, we wouldn't have this gospel. So this is a testimony of the integrity of one of the major authors of the New Testament. It's one of the arguments to be made for the authenticity of the Bible. That we even have this text is evidence. Because they know him. He's writing to people that he knows. And what we see in the Apostle Paul is someone who's simply trying to walk the Calvary Road. That's what we're going to be celebrating this morning. Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's tree. His body broken. They could have killed him without the crown of thorns. But they wanted the crown of thorns on there to shame him. So we celebrate a love like no other in this universe today when we celebrate communion. And we say, as we celebrate communion, I not only love him, I want to be like him. And we see examples in the Bible of people who tried to live a selfless life for the cause of the gospel, to be able to say to the world, Jesus loves you. Last week I went into the prison. I have a prison Bible study now in the Cumberland County Jail. And one of the men came in and he was in there. He said, I can only be here just a little while and I have to go. I said, while I got you, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you and he gave his life on the cross so you could live. I wanted him to know in case I never saw him again, because sometimes in prisons people come and people go, and I just didn't want to take the chance. Paul's saying, I think it's so important that people know the love of God that I will do anything I can to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about four areas of surrender. I'm going to do this fast as I can. Four areas of, I'll just name them and see how far I get. Four areas of surrender that he talks about. He surrenders his agenda. He surrenders his finances. He surrenders his culture. And he surrenders his urges in order to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a high calling. That's the calling not only on his life, that's the calling on our life. And I want to say that I see around me in this church, it's not some theory far, far away, but I see among you many people who are trying to also walk the Calvary Road, and I thank God for this church and this people. Now, in Big Lake, where I grew up, near where I grew up, there's an island called White's Island, and it's in a mile and a quarter island out in the middle of the lake, and it's a beautiful hardwood ridge. There's one set of oaks on that island, five oaks out of one stump, and each oak is this big around. And the canopy of that part of the forest would be bigger than the ceiling of our sanctuary here from just those trees. And I have walked the length of that island and in a wonder and awe and worship of God and said to Noel, I have to own this island. I don't know if you've all had, I'm sure, a fever of coveting. You know what I'm saying? You see something and you want it so badly it almost takes your breath away. And I said to Noel, I said to my brother Leonard, I can't remember how he happened to be there, I said, that island would be worth living your whole life just to own that island. But God had a call on my life. And I knew it was just a fantasy. You know how when temptation comes on you, it doesn't have to be even connected to reality at all? I had to surrender that fantasy. And I've had, and it's not the only time in our lives we have things that are, we are tempted to have supplant as the chief purpose of our life, the glory of God and the presentation of the gospel. So we can get all wound up about getting an RV and that becomes our life. Or you take anything, we can take anything that there is and make an idol of it. Paul has, you know what his agenda used to be? Killing Christians. That was his agenda. That's what he wanted. If he had free time, you know what he wanted to do? Go find a few Christians and at least beat them up. And Christ touched him. Now, his life has changed. So that's the most important thing for him. And he surrendered his finances. And I want to say this about this church. A lot of you are already living the teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where you serve Christ without getting paid for it. Like, we don't pay Louise to change the numbers on do we, Louise? We don't. And we don't pay her husband Steve to make the coffee downstairs. And we didn't pay Emma to clean the bathrooms this week. And we don't pay the trustees. You know, I saw Andy. He's not even a trustee. I saw Andy climb out of a hole in the ground. I don't know if you're turning off or turning on the water in the mill. Did we pay you for that? No. I've seen the president of our church, Dr. Jim, paint the floor in the basement. Did anybody pay you for that, doctor? Oh, Jane did. There are some of us that are paid. And I'm not embarrassed by that. The Bible's pretty clear. That's an appropriate thing. But even those of us that are paid like to do some things that, you know, extra things. That things that we wouldn't necessarily get paid for. Like, I kill mice in the mill for you. Well, Mitch taught me how. I'll bet I've killed 60 mice in the mill. Yeah, that's a high and holy calling. I'm sorry, Linda. Linda does not like me to kill mice in the mill. I know Sharon doesn't have to do a bell choir. She does a good job just serving us here. She wants to do extra. And I'll tell you something about Ethan. When they moved, now Ethan lives an hour and 15 minutes away, our youth pastor. And I've said to him on two different occasions, I've said, would you like to move youth group to Sunday night so that you don't have to drive down twice? He said, no. He said, I think it's working the way it's going. So he didn't have to do that. But so many of you are living the life that Paul talks about. You're living Paul's life, and you're doing things for Christ every day, every week, and nobody's paying you for it because your life has been touched by love, and you've become an agent of the kingdom, and you're going to touch people with Jesus' hands. Good on ya! Praise the Lord! Okay? And those of you that are, you know, you're worrying, well, if I really surrender to Christ, does that mean I have to put something in the offering? You don't have to do anything. Right? Christ did it all. But when you become a servant of the kingdom, you say, I want to support this. This is good stuff God is doing here. And you'll say, how can I help? And we've got people, we've got so many volunteers. I can't name you all. And if you're jealous because I named Emma, and shame on you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we've got people that surrender their agenda and they surrender their finances. Now, the Apostle Paul says, I surrender my culture. It's a big conflict in the early church because every church has got a mix of Jews and Gentiles. And one of the things that they always have a fight over is the food. And Paul has said, you know, when I'm in a Gentile house and they serve me, I'm going to eat whatever they serve me. When I'm in a Jewish house, I know the rules, I'm going to obey all the rules. Because the gospel is more important than my culture. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. It's a tough one because I like my culture, I like the songs I like. I don't like some of your songs. I can remember when I had a youth group, I thought, it was in Rhode Island, so this is a very long time ago. I was about 26, so I thought I was an old guy then. And I thought I was some cool because I knew about Christian rock and roll. And I listened, I had the kids in the youth group listen to this. I was going to introduce them to Christian rock and show them how cool Christians could be. So they listened and they'd all look bored. And I said, what? I said, that's rock and roll. I said, yeah. Well, we like rap. That's when I knew I got old at 26. They brought rap the next week and I listened to it and I was going, no, I don't like it. We have to say sometimes that my personal tastes are not the gospel. And I have to love the people who have different... God has put us in a wonderful country, and there are people from all over the world in our country. And we've got an assignment to love them. And finally, the Apostle Paul says, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself am not disqualified. He says, he's saying, I've surrendered my urges. Other places, he says, I know what it is to hunger, and I know what it is to abound. In other words, sometimes for the cause of the gospel, he didn't eat. And he said, no to himself. He said, I have the right to have a Christian wife. The apostles do, Peter does. She travels with him. That's not part of my life. I do this for the cause of Christ. He brings himself under control because he wants to have this, he wants to be sold out for Christ. And he doesn't want to, he says, I don't want to be disqualified from the prize myself. So he wants to live a godly and pure life. So he's not doing this all by himself. This is not, it's wonderful to see someone who's a good Christian. Sometimes it's great just to sit down with an old Christian and have them tell you about what the Lord has done in their life. It's a blessing. But all the praise goes to Jesus Christ. He's trying to live like Jesus. And I want to live like Jesus. And I want you to try to live like Jesus too.